at the home of the truth. Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
We've spent all week talking about Idaho without talking about Idaho. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Jason Eck and his team, the Idaho Vandals. They played Oregon way tougher than anybody expected. 24-14 was the final. They caused some hand-wringing and questions and raising eyebrows here in the Pacific Northwest as people are looking at Oregon going, hey, wait, are they not that good? Or is Idaho really good? Or what's going on there? I think it's a real disservice, though, that nobody has bothered to call Coach Jason Eck and ask him how he feels about it. So I'm doing that now. Here is Jason Eck. He is the head football coach at Idaho.
Hey, John. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing well. I've been thinking about you all week, and we've been talking about you all week, and I've been writing about you all week, and then I thought, why have I not had this guy on my radio show? To talk about it was a pretty damn good performance by you guys, and I know you don't want to take a moral victory, but you guys played really well.
Yeah, that was a tough game, to play one of the top five teams in the country on the road. So I think there's, I don't think we really accomplished anything, but there's some great things to build off in that game that can give us confidence. And if we can keep building on that and keep improving from there, I think we have a chance to be a excellent team this year.
When you walk away, when you go into the locker room after a game like that, how do you what's your messaging immediately? Or, as a coach, I guess psychology is always involved.
Yeah, I told them, one, that I was proud of them. And I think one of the biggest challenges when you have a game like that is getting everybody in that room to believe. Because nobody on the outside believed, we could play them close. We were, 40-something point underdogs. But to have a chance in that game, if you go in there with your team thinking that that's really the case, you're kind of doomed to start with. And, I knew that was really critical because they were a team that's kind of put it on teams. I mean, the last couple of years, they'd scored 70 and 80 points against Big Sky teams. And so I wanted to, make the team feel good because I really do think we believed going in there that we could win that game. And, we certainly made it a game that we had chances to win. But I also wanted to remind them, there's not, I said this exact thing. They're not going to, I've never seen a ring inscribed at the end of the year when if you get championship rings that we played Oregon within 10 points. They say conference champions or national champions. So, we still got a lot of work to do to try to accomplish, our goals there. And, I think it's, as we're building our program here, I think we still have, a little bit because they had about 20 bad years, before our staff got here, where they only think they had two winning seasons in those 20 years. So there's a lot of people around here kind of treat you like you won a game like that just by playing it close. But in reality, that's not the case. We got to keep getting better and translating to wins.
I want to maybe drill down a little bit on what you guys were doing well, especially on the D-line. Bruce Barnum, your colleague in the Big Sky, just sang your praises the other day. He was saying, look, they will get you with alignment and shading and pinch a guy here and slant a guy there. But what without getting too far in the secret sauce, what were you guys doing that was effective on the D-line? Because you had some success disrupting Oregon.
Yeah, we played 11 guys on the D-line, and I think that was critical to our success. They didn't sub a lot in the O-line, so having 11 guys rotating fresh against, five guys on their side, I think, helped us. I thought our effort was tremendous in the game. I think we have a couple of guys who, are Power 5 level players, Dallas Afalava and Keyshawn James Newby, and they did what you'd want them to do. They got the sacks in the game and the TFLs. And again, we did a good job. I think Coach Jackson, our coordinator, and Coach Loney, our D-line coach, we had a good game plan. We didn't always just stay static. We switched the fronts a little bit. We had some line movements. We were aggressive with some blitzes and, tried to keep them off balance so we weren't just, sitting targets where they knew right where we were going to be and they could tee off on us.
In scouting and for a game one or game planning for a game one, you go back to last season and maybe you try to figure out what personnel is new and what they might implement. Did Oregon come out and do anything that surprised you, or were they just kind of doing the stuff they did last year, or what did you see?
No, they definitely had some new wrinkles. I think they played some different coverages on defense. They had played a lot of what we call a bracket coverage last year. We expected more of that, and they mixed in some different coverages. Offensively, they had some new wrinkles. I mean, some of the things we saw, like, jet sweep to number 15, Tez is a great player. We expected that and repped that a lot during the week. They had some you know, some new wrinkles in the passing game that I think played to, you know, Gabriel's strengths. So I would say it was a probably a normal evolution. You know, they had new wrinkles. I think their core identity didn't change much from the year before. They probably played a little bit more, you know, a zero nose front where they lined up on a nose guard than they had played last year. You know, we thought they'd play us a little bit more in a four down line, you know, even look, especially when we were in 11 personnel, and they ended up playing us with more of that, you know, oaky front or bear front. So that was a little different than we expected, but, you know, it wasn't no drastic changes, I would say.
You got a great stop from your defense on a fourth down and then brilliantly came back with a little razzle dazzle in the next play. Can you take me through the psychology of that sudden change and what you're thinking as, you know, your offense is going on the field?
Well, I had talked to Coach Sleissner, even our offensive coordinator, before that stop, you know, even, you know, right when we got off the field on offense, and I had asked him, I said, I thought it was that play. I said, which is your favorite trick play we have? You know, what do you feel the best about it? I just said, hey, we need a spark. You know, we had 0 points at that time. You know, the defense had gotten a stop on a fake punt earlier that gave us field position on the plus side of the field. We didn't do anything with it. So I just thought we needed like a momentum play, and then it ended up being a double momentum play. We get a huge stop on the fourth and one, and then we call that play. I think their coaching staff might have anticipated us going for a shot or a trick play there because they blitzed into it. Mm. But I thought it was just tremendous execution by our players. You know, Hamper from West Lynn did a great job of, you know, he gets the pitch on the reverse, pitches it, and then gets the key block to give Jack the time to get it off. So I think that play and, you know, our view of those trick plays, those things are plays that we run over and over again. And we've had that play in the arsenal, you know, all 3 years that we've been here at Idaho, and so that's a play that is really like a base play to us, even though some people would say it's a trick play. We've repped it a lot so that no matter what look we get, we can execute the play.
So you're telling me, like, even before it, you know, it's four down territory, or Oregon goes on fourth, you're already talking that, hey, your first next offensive play may be that trick play.
Yeah, because we just needed a spark. And, you know, like I said, I think sometimes when you're struggling, you got to have a little creativity, and then, you know, we weren't, you know, just lining up and knocking them off the ball. We needed something to kind of keep them off balance and just get a little momentum. And then it was double momentum because the defensive play was huge. And then, you know, that kept the momentum. And then the next series was our first series where we really drove the length of the field and went down and got a touchdown, I think on a, you know, 75-yard touchdown drive. So I think that kind of got our offense going that play.
Now, your last year at Wisconsin, I was covering the Big Ten as a beat reporter at Purdue. And so, I think Purdue and IU may have, one of them played you that year. I can't remember which. And so you may have been on the field in a game that I covered. I mean, which makes me feel old now. But give me an idea. You're at Wisconsin as a player. Were you thinking coaching at that time?
Yeah, I think coaching was always in my back pocket. You know, my father was a college basketball coach. So he was, I don't know, there's probably not a lot of people who have done that, if anybody, but he was a Division I head coach at the University of Toledo from 87 to 91. And then, like when I was at Wisconsin as a player, he was an assistant at Loyola University of Chicago. You know, and I just saw, you know, he really enjoyed what he was doing. He enjoyed, you know, going to the office every day. He never felt like he was punching the clock. So I think that, you know, that had an effect on me as a kid wanting to do that. You know, my mom kind of discouraged it because, you know, the negative sides of coaching.
Right, she saw it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, we had to move around a lot. You know, I was all set to go to high school and Toledo, and then, you know, we ended up, my dad got let go there, and we had to move. So my mom was trying to talk me out of it, but then right after, you know, 98 was my senior year, and I graduated in 4 years. I really could have came back for another year eligibility, but I was a backup, so I went right into being a grad assistant. And I think right after we got back from the Rose Bowl, that 98 year was, you know, we played Purdue that time. They threw it 80 times with Drew Brees.
Yes.
Didn't really stop him, and that play, that's always stuck with me. That was kind of our game plan against Oregon, is let's not give up big plays, let's keep the ball in front of us.
Yeah.
You know, that game Drew made a few mistakes and threw some interceptions. Now credit to Dylan Gabriel, he never threw it to us. You know, we kind of took away the big plays, but he kept taking what we were giving him and throwing underneath and was very accurate against us. But you know, there was, that game plan was a little bit crafted by Barry Alvarez, seeing what he did against Drew Brees in 1998.
Let me ask you this. I mean, so the game ends, and then naturally, people in our footprint go to, what's wrong with Oregon? Oh, gosh, they didn't win by 40. Oh, what's happening here? But I wanted to be careful. You know, when I wrote, I said, hey, first paragraph, let's consider the possibility that Idaho had something to do with this, like that Idaho might be a really good FCS team that plays deep into the playoffs. Did Did your guys hear any of that noise coming out of that? Does it motivate you guys to be like, hey, we have something to prove again this week against Wyoming?
Yeah, you know, for the most part, I try to have the guys not read into the noise and focus on what we're telling them, you know, in that locker room. And again, I think that, you know, to me, that's only a good story, us playing Oregon tough, if now we can keep building on that, keep getting better, play great against Wyoming this week, where I think, you know, you're playing a team like Oregon, you could play really, really well. And I think on defense, we did play really, really well. Probably on offense and special teams, we definitely could play better. But you could play really well against a team that's that good and lose, where really the rest of the games on our schedule, if we play really, really well, we're going to have a heck of a chance to win the game. So, you know, we got to focus on us and getting better and just executing at a higher level. Because I think that game, you know, just shows us kind of the possibilities for this team if we can keep growing and improving.
How are you feeling about the quarterback? You had an injury at quarterback. You're hoping to get that guy back mid-season, but how are you feeling this week?
I have a lot of confidence in Jack Wagner. And it was bittersweet because you feel bad for Jack Lane. He had really worked hard and has been a great leader for us and is a guy who really invests, you know, probably the hardest worker on our football team with preparation and things. So your heart goes out for him, but we're very excited about Wags. You know, he's a talented young man right there from that from Tualatin right there in the Portland area. And, you know, he was actually, we were able to get Jack Lane to walk on when we first got here because they had signed a quarterback already in that class, and we had like 9 quarterbacks at the time. So Wagner was the first scholarship quarterback that we recruited here as a staff when we got hired. And, you know, so he has all the traits we're looking for. He's athletic, he's big, he can throw it, very strong arm. So I think it's a tremendous opportunity for him. And the unfortunate part of football is usually when you get your opportunity in football, it's usually because of misfortune to someone else. You know, I wouldn't have this opportunity at Idaho to be the head coach if it wasn't for misfortune for someone else. So, you know, he's got a great opportunity. I expect him to play well this week.
Yeah, you've got Lake Oswego, you've got Tualatin, you've got Camas, you've got Westland. You're doing a good job. I feel like we should almost adopt you as like the satellite college program from this region.
No, we want to recruit, you know, Idaho, Oregon, and Washington all as in state. And I think that's, you know, I think we're an excellent academic school. You know, I think, you know, probably UC Davis, I would say, is the only school in the Big Sky that I think has probably better academics than us. I think we're probably clearly the second. So in the Northwest region, I think that can really be a, you know, a great selling point. It's a beautiful residential campus. And those areas where you can drive, you know, you can get over here from Portland in, you know, 5.5-6 hours. And you can get over here from Seattle in, you know, 4.5-5 hours, depending on where you're at. Those are areas we hammer in recruiting. And Coach Luke Schleichner, our offensive coordinator, is our Portland recruiter and has really done a tremendous job there getting some great talent.
Well, you guys did a great job as a staff. Your team played hard, played to win. And, you know, you put a scare in Oregon. And so this whole week has been spent with people going, what are they going to do against Boise? And your guys did that. So I know it's not a consolation, but go get Wyoming, and I'll get you back on the show at some point, Coach.
Hey, thanks so much, John. Appreciate you. V's up.
Yep, take care. Thank you. There he goes. We have spent all week long talking about Idaho without talking about Idaho. You tell me if you're a Duck fan, you feel better now? You feel a little bit better about the Boise State game? I made my picks at johnconzano.com. If you want to see my picks in their entirety, my reasoning, my thoughts, my predictions, go to johnconzano.com. The week 2 picks are out. I hit 80% against the spread last week. Can I stay hot? Leave it here. You got the BFT.